Ephesians chapter number 4. Chapter number 4. I only have one verse up here, but let's read from verse 10. We'll read from verse number 10. There's our text. Verse, he who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying or building up of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect or mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine or teaching, by the trickery of men and cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But the alternative is, speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying or building up of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, their being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness and greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. But you, putting off concerning your former conduct or way of life, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. In light of what I have said, put away lying. Let each of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, what is good, that he may have something to give him who is in need. Back to the mouth. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, loud arguing, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Dale, your worst prayers are better than my best, so would you ask God to bless us? Please, sir. In the 13th summer of my young life, I noticed that my neighbor's granddaughters came to visit with him, and they were cute. One especially caught my eye. I don't remember her name, don't remember what she looks like today, but at the time she was important to me, and so I wrote a note to her indicating how I thought she was cute and that I kind of liked her and wanted to know if she might feel the same way about this puppy. I heard Billy Graham say one time, it's puppy love, but it's real to the puppy. And so when her male cousin came and asked me if I wrote the note, I got all embarrassed and scared and didn't, so I lied. I said, no, I didn't write that, my brother did. And he wound up with a girlfriend. Lying doesn't get you anywhere, does it? I wonder, have you ever reshaped the truth to protect yourself or to improve your image? Have you ever claimed innocence when you knew that you were guilty? You lied like a dog. I don't know if dogs lie. They lie. Anyway, have you ever lied about your age, about your weight, about your income, about something that you said and you denied you said it. Someone calls at 10 in the morning and they ask you, did I wake you? And you go, no, I was awake. Yeah, right. None of us have done any of those things, right? And everybody said, we can go home now. And instead of airing all of my laundry this morning or the rest of us, I think we should focus on somebody else. Let's put somebody else in the spotlight. Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery. They then took the blood of a goat, put it on his many-colored coat, brought that to Dad, and they didn't have to say anything. Matter of fact, that was a lie. They didn't say anything to correct his assumption. His statement was, some ferocious animal has devoured him. Joseph has surely been torn to pieces. And as Jacob grieved the loss of his dearly loved son, his sons remain silent. Sometimes you don't have to say anything to lie. Sometimes you just don't say anything when you could clear things up by telling the truth. When the judge asked if his income tax return accurately reflected his income, the young father said, oh, yes, sir. Based on the amount that was on the report, the judge ordered him to pay $200 a month in child support. What he didn't tell the judge was that in addition to his reported $200 income that he reported, he also made an additional $4,000 to $5,000 a month in unreported cash. Wow. A human is prone to lie because we're kin to Adam. And the human race has had years of practice at this, so that we've become really good and proficient at lying. Politicians have turned it into an occupation, and men on the prowl seem to think it's their responsibility to lie to the lady seated on the stool next to them in the guidonc where they are. Lies. Sometimes when you turn on the news, you have to be careful, because fair and balanced can mean that you lie about both parties, not just one. You have to be careful what you hear, because not everything you hear is the truth. There are liars all around us, of course none in this room who have ever practiced that age-old occupation. Sometimes we lie to impress, we lie to protect, we lie to avoid the consequences of something we did or did not do. And sometimes we lie just because a lie sounds better than the truth. We talk about the six guys that we had to beat up when we were 18, and when in fact it was an old lady who hit us with a purse. We fabricate some real doozies. And we come up with some real interesting lies. Paul says that falsehood is contrary to the life of God and the life that God has called us to live. And so it belongs in the grave with the old self. When we put away the old, we are to put away lying. He commands us to put off falsehood. Look at the first point with me this morning. Let's talk about learning to speak prophetically. Learning to speak prophetically. It's not just something that happens for an hour on Sunday mornings where we give ourselves an opportunity to address the congregation with a prophetic word and God speaks through us. And then the rest of the week, we digress from there, and sometimes we get bitter water out of the same fountain we get sweet water from. And James says that's not the way nature works, and it shouldn't be the way it works in our life. It shouldn't be that on Sunday we can prophesy and speak in tongues and then cuss like a sailor on Monday. You don't get sweet water and bit water. Somebody say, about time you said that. When Paul calls them to speak truthfully, he's quoting Zechariah 8:16, by the way. Zechariah tells the whole nation, these are the things you are to do, : speak the truth to each other and render true and sound judgment in your courts. Recently we had a man by the name of Kavanaugh who was to be confirmed as a Supreme Court Justice. A lady in California came and brought accusations, and without a trial, before anyone could evaluate whether or not her story could be corroborated, the news media jumped on it and other people who didn't like his stance and his views and his values, and they immediately found him guilty in the court of public opinion, and they denigrated, and they sought to destroy this man. They never proved his story to be true. The people supposedly that were there could have corroborated what she said or could have confirmed what she said. Said they don't remember the event. I read again what Zechariah says, and render true and sound judgment in your courts. In our system, which is a great system, if you've got good money, you can get off if you get a good attorney who can make it look like the glove didn't fit. I say, are you listening? Maybe I shouldn't have gone that far. Paul is calling us to Zechariah is calling every member of the nation to speak the truth. Can you imagine that if our nation suddenly got a dose of truth serum and everybody in Washington had to tell the truth? There would be some people who would jump off a bridge that would be totally new and just totally against their constitution. I have a right to lie. Really? We're to tell the truth from the beauty parlor to the butcher shop. We're to tell the truth from the pulpit to the courtroom and from the playroom to the courtroom and everything in between. As a boy, I lied to my mother to protect myself from the consequences of my disobedience and misbehavior. Nobody ever did that? Okay. As an adult, I've lied to myself and to others to protect myself from the pain of reality and the consequences that could fall like a hammer on my life. In doing so, I violated the revealed will of God that's found in the ninth commandment, thou shalt not bear false witness, or to put it in common terms, thou shalt not lie. My dad used to say, if a person will lie, they'll steal from you. And if they'll steal from you, they'll murder. They'll murder you. They'll kill you. Our world is filled with murderers who destroyed people with lies. They didn't like them, so they started a story about them. It's amazing how words like feathers are easy to spread but hard to pick back up. John wrote, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God is light, and in him there is no shadow of turning in him. There's no gray. There's no something in between truth and a lie, this little convenient state. No, God is absolutely true. Matter of fact, he doesn't just speak truth. He is true. He is truth. Jesus said that. I am the way, the truth. And so God is the standard by which everything else is evaluated to find out if it's true or if it's the way it ought to be. Can I tell you that not only is he the truth, but he knows the truth about us. He knows what we did. I know you looked both ways, but he saw you because you forgot that way. He knows what we did. He knows when we did it. He knows why we did it. He knows how we did it. He knows who we did it with, and he knows who we did it to. He knows. That's scary, isn't it? If you've not done the right thing, that is C-R-A-Y, or is it S-C? Just checking to see if you had fallen asleep. God knows the whole truth, not just part of the truth. He knows the whole truth, and he bases his judgment on that whole truth, while we tend to judge others without knowing the whole truth. We know what they did, but we don't know what was going on inside of them. We don't know what their childhood was like. Not that it excuses the action, but we don't understand the person because we don't know the truth about what they've experienced. God judges righteous judgment. Righteous judgment is knowing the whole truth. You know, you go to court, they make you put your left hand on the Bible, raise your right hand, and they say, do you promise, solemnly promise to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God. And people lightly say, I do. And then get on the stand, and that's called, in legal terms, perjury. But you know, in life you can lie, and there's no courtroom that's going to evaluate you in this life. You can lie. You can lie that somebody said something when they didn't. You can lie about yourself. You can lie. But how many of you know one day we stand before God and all lies will be put in the light if they have not been confessed as lies to God? Wow. God knows the whole truth and he bases his judgment on it. While when we tend to judge others, we tend to judge without knowing the truth. We draw conclusions without having all the evidence and we go wild by it. We just love to go and spread the news. I have a prayer request. No, it's G-O-S-S-I-P, gossip. You're getting quiet on me, and that scares me. All too often, while the part of the story we tell is true, we fail to tell the whole story, and thereby we distort the reality. We omit the parts that put us in the bad light, and we commit the parts to memory that put the other person at fault. How many of you know that can be very hurtful to people? A lie is, I think, symptomatic of a deeper problem. I think the lie is a fruit of something that's wrong on the inside. Jesus indicated that Satan is a liar and the father of lies. It's something satanic about a lie. There's something satanic about deceit and deception. Lies are characteristic of Satan and the kingdom of darkness. It's how the realm in which he works operates. He works on illusion. He tells partial truths and partial lies. Look at it. It's good to eat. Look at it. It smells good. Has God really said? And so he leads us into temptation. Be it a politician or a preacher that misrepresents reality, they are displaying a trait that belongs to the father of lies and showing themselves in some way to be in allegiance with the father of lies. Lying belongs to the old way of life, and it has no place in the life of the new creature, the new man. Whether housewife, car salesman, pastor, attorney, or teacher in school, we're called upon as believers to put away things like flattery and trickery and deception and other forms of falsehood. Falsehood in its many forms has no place in the believer's life, and everybody said. Come on, help me. Everybody said. And then there is a second part of this. That's the word. Let's see if we can pull that one up. There is the way in which we are to speak. The new man must speak truthfully to his neighbor, and he needs to do it, as Jan said this morning, in love. As already noted, there is no middle ground between truth and a lie. There is no such thing as a gray lie or a little white lie. A lie is a lie is a lie is a lie. If you've ever been caught in one, you know it's miserable. I put this in as parenthesis. The Bible says that truth and grace came through Jesus. I'm glad those two things were put together. Truth is one of the toughest things I've ever faced in my life, the truth about me. And I needed grace in order to embrace the truth and move forward. Thank God for the grace of God that meets us in the place of truth. Thank God for the grace of God that meets us in the place of truth. The truth about who we really are, not the person we project. You know, there's some people I've never got to know because they never told the truth about themselves and they've never been themselves. They project this image. They always have a mask on. And when they tell you stories, you don't know if you can believe it or not because you know they're embellishing it. There's no way they climb Mount Everest. They're in a wheelchair. I say, are you listening? As already noted, there is no middle ground between the lie and the truth. We're either telling the truth or we're telling a lie. The whole truth and nothing but the truth is what God wants us to speak. A statement that becomes or has 1% error is what? A lie. If I put my spin on it, my opinion, if I try to fabricate it so that I come off looking better than what I really am, it's a lie. When you think about people who are liars, who's the first one on the list? Sometimes I think, well, a used car salesman. That's isn't it terrible that in our day, people, one of the top three, preachers. Wow. People need a place where they can be accepted for who they are and can speak honestly about their fears, their frustrations, their failures, their triumphs, and their hopes. But sometimes in church, people are forced to lie. Well, forced, that's a little strong. We give them opportunity because we won't let them say how they're really doing. We want to keep this positive spin on it. So don't tell me your problem. Tell me you're doing okay. Lie. If we can't tell the truth in church, then where can we tell the truth? Now, I'm not giving license to us to complain and to mulligrub, but I think there ought to be a place where we can come, and I think it's the house of God, where I can honestly say, I really struggled this week. Or someone could say, I'm struggling with pornography. Or someone could say, I am that far from falling into whatever it might be. I am being tempted. And we can openly declare that without being put down or shut up or shamed. Because there's where we're going to find the help that we need from a brother or a sister, because we've been honest with them. And everybody said. Far too often in the house of God, the place where people ought to be able to speak the truth, truth is shamed. And people are shut up. And on the other side of that coin, far too often, forgiveness is viewed as sweeping things under the rug. We just don't want to deal with it. We don't want to confront. But you know, Jesus said, if your brother offends you, you go to him and you rebuke him. In other words, the friendship is not more important than the truth. I had a young man tell me the other day, the Lord asked him that very question, is your friendship with that person more important than the truth? Because he needed to talk to them about their relationship with Jesus. And he didn't want to do it because it might cause them to look down on him or walk away from them, him and break the friendship. And he didn't want to lose the friendship. And I'm not saying we have to be obnoxious, but when the friendship becomes more important than the truth, it's an idol. Going to a brother and opening our heart to him, calling him to task, is not a chance to vent our spleen, but to deal with the issues that have put distance between us and to look at the possibility of reconciliation and restoration. And sometimes that's impossible. There are people who shut the door and they don't want to talk about it anymore. And so from your perspective, there's nothing else you can do. But on your side, you can leave the door open and always be willing to talk about those things. Don't kick things under the rug, because then you wind up with this big pile in your living room and you have to walk around it every time you see that person. Truth will eliminate. And everybody said. And then there's Galatians 2:11-21. Paul says this. He confronted Peter in front of everybody. Now, I'm not suggesting that's the way to do this every time. And everybody said, oh, is it okay to just confront, just get in front of the church and blast them? No. The Bible says you go to them one-on-one. And if they don't hear you, take a witness who can confirm what you're saying. So it's two-on-one. And then if that doesn't work, then you bring it before the whole church. But the first step is one-on-one. The issue isn't to shame them in front of everybody. The issue is to get them back right in their relationship with God, back in right relationship with their fellows, back in right relationship with the way they ought to be living. That's God's objective. Sometimes the church is majoring on shame. And what we need to do is unshame people. And the way to do that is through confession. And He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That preacher that messed up, we see him on TV, we tend to turn the channel. Maybe he has more to say than we give him credit for. Maybe he learned something in the midst of the throes of what he went through. And everybody said, wow. Look at the last one with me. There is the Word. Say with me, the Word. The way. And the why. Why do this? Why speak truth with my neighbor? Why put away falsehood? Well, we could go to the commandment that says thou shalt not lie. We could base this statement on that. That would be good. In Ephesians 4:21, Paul says the truth is in Jesus. So we could base it on the fact that Jesus is the truth, and to speak a lie is contrary to His very nature and the nature of God that's within us. But you know what Paul appeals to? He bases his appeal on? It's not the Ten Commandments. It's not that Jesus is the truth. He bases it on the fact that we're part of a community. Look at what it says. For we are all members of one body. You know something? And whose body is it? Assemblies of God body. Nope, bigger than that. The Baptist and Assembly of God body. It's the body of Christ. That we have a new place. We have a new citizenship. We are new creatures. And we're part of a new creation that began with the death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and exaltation and outpouring of the Spirit. We are a new creation. Just like God created the old creation, Adam fell, God brought forth through the last Adam a new creation in which we are a part. It's not here in its fullness yet, but it's coming. And that new creation reality, in that new creation reality, lying has no place. Yipes. Because we're a part of one another. Aiken did the unthinkable. He took what was on the banned list and he hid it under his tent. He made as though he didn't take it. But when they went to battle, 36 men died and the nation lost a battle they should have won. One man's sin caused defeat for an entire nation. Think about that. What you do. Dad, you can get drunk if you want to and come home, but it's not just you. It affects your family. I say, are you listening? You can do the wrong thing, and it will affect this entire body of believers. You say, well, I just won't come while I'm doing the wrong thing. Wrong decision. Quit doing the wrong thing. I've had people tell me, I'd ask them, would you teach a Sunday school class? Well, I just don't feel like I'm qualified. Well, what would it take to get you qualified? Well, I got some habits in my life I need to get rid of. Then get rid of them. It's that simple. It's not hard. Can I just be real frank with you and real honest with you real quick? Not that I haven't been already. But we're talking about truth. Let me tell you. Smoking won't send you to hell, but it sure make you die a horrible death. My mother-in-law was at my house, and my wife nursed her. I watched this lady struggle to breathe, and my wife take care of her, and how much it affected her. Truth is, yeah, it's hard to quit smoking. I grant you that. But I'm going to tell you, it's harder to die because you smoke. The death that smoking can cause. You can quit. It's hard, yes, but it can be done. But you can't stop dying. And everybody said. And I'm not saying that to be ugly. I'm saying that in love because I care about you and I want you to live long so you can pay your tithes. Truth is, can I throw another truth in? Truth is, without Jesus, you're dying and going to a devil's hell. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how many missionaries you've given money to just to be kind. You can be a wonderful person, but without Jesus and without Him as Lord of your life, without having come to Him in faith, believing that He died for your sins and that He paid for what you couldn't pay for, you're going to die and go to hell. You can sit in a pew every Sunday or a chair without Jesus. Can I say to you another truth since we're on a rant? God expects you to obey the laws of the land. And when you lie about how much you made so you don't have to pay enough extra child support and you get the cash, let me tell you, you know who you're robbing? You're robbing your child and you're robbing yourself because when it comes time to get Social Security, if it's there, guess what? You're only going to get back on what you paid. And there's a lesson there. What you put out is coming back. My old grandpa used to say, you can't spit so high, it won't come back down. Even that stuff they got circling the earth every once in a while falls back into the atmosphere and burns up. Live a life that you won't be ashamed of in the future. Say things that you don't have to lie about. Do things you don't have to lie about. And everybody said. Paul could have based his appeal on the truth that God said, thou shalt not. And he could have based it on the truth that Jesus is the truth. But he based it on the fact that we are members of the same body, that we belong to one another. Lying doesn't merely affect the liar and the party misrepresented. It affects the entire community. And if we're going to be a prophetic community and learn how to speak prophetically, not just on Sunday morning for 5 minutes or a minute, but it needs to be a part of our makeup and a part of our life 24/7. And here is where we learn the beginnings of speaking prophetically is being truthful. Being truthful. Lying can start a firestorm that discourages and destroys. Achan's sin affected the entire nation. Peter's hypocrisy influenced the rest of the Jews and Barnabas, and Paul called him to task, Galatians 2:13. I'm almost there. Truth, on the other hand, does what? Truth builds trust. Truth builds up. And trust is essential to a healthy community. If you can't trust the people that are around you, if you can't trust your wife, and you never know where she's at, and when she comes home late, you don't know where she's been, that's not good for a relationship. Someone who's faithful to the truth and whose word is trustworthy is of great value and is a great asset to the community of faith. Maybe I could have just spoken a name. How's that? I could have, instead of saying someone who's, I could have said Dwayne Jordan. I think if you ask Dwayne something, Dwayne will be as truthful as sunlight. I mean, he's not going to embellish it. I think if you ask Dale, Dale is going to be open and honest. Someone who's faithful to the truth and whose word is trustworthy is an asset to the community of faith. And that's why every believer should speak the truth in love. Well, what do you say we wrap it up? I had an old preacher tell me once, never preach longer than the bottom can endure. We got soft seats, but those backs on the chairs sometimes get a little tough. If you were to take a test, have you ever lied on a lie detector that worked? Would you pass? Let me give you the whole truth. If you lie, you've sinned. That's half the truth. The whole truth is there's forgiveness in Jesus. I'm glad for His grace. And so what do? The word we speak is the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth to God, to others, to ourselves. The way we speak is what? Truthfully in love. Love for God, love for the truth, love for the hearer, love for the community. And the why? Because we are members of one body, and that one body is His body, the body of Christ. And what we do affects others, not just ourselves. I can tell you an ingrown toenail is a long way removed from my healthy shoulder. But everything stops when I get an ingrown toenail. Thank God it's been a long time. An eyelash in my eye is a long way from my foot. But I tell you what, I get an eyelash in my eye, and it just ruins the moment. Especially if I'm trying to look through a viewfinder. Message Bible, Ephesians 4:25. What this adds up to, then, is this, : no more lies. No more pretense. Can I stop there for a second, Paul? You know something? People might like you just as you are. If they ever got to meet you. But sometimes we live in houses we can't afford, drive cars we can't afford, we wear clothes we can't afford because we're trying to keep up an image. If you're a blue jean guy, just be a blue jean guy. If you're a black pants guy, be a black pants guy. You know, people go to Disneyland, but everybody knows that thing is not real. I guess everybody knows. I know one guy that went there 105 times or so. He thought those little things, those little mechanical, he thought they were real. We would really like to get to know you, and you'd really like to get to know me. And sometimes me is not real, and I'm going to get just downright honest. Sometimes me, I'm boring. So I have to embellish it a little bit. Yeah, I played music years ago, and I played with a band, and we played in front of people. Were names. But the reason I quit playing was because they let me go. Because I wasn't good enough to go where they were going. Now I can tell that story so it makes me look good. And I don't have to tell everybody that story. But we tell lies, we start believing them. And then we don't know where the truth is and where the lie is anymore. I like Sister Callie the way she is. And she says, that's good because that's all you're going to get. I like Sister Callie the way she is. From the first time I met her, she's just real. And if you don't want to know, don't ask her. I like Jay the way he is. He didn't put on any airs for anybody. And everybody said, I like Sean the way she is. Thank you. And so does Clay. I like Stephen and Gail the way they are. I went looking for you in the wrong store the other day. I was in Monroe, West Monroe. Yeah. I went to the lobby. They had a sale. And I went and bought some frames. Frames and pictures. I like Gail the way she is. I like Hobby Lobby the way it is. I like the Christian music when I go in there. I like Marvin Cantrell. And Sister Juana, her quiet little self. If she got up and started running around here screaming and yelling, I'd say, God, something really good or something really bad just happened. I like Haley the way she is. Look at somebody next to you and say, just be who you are. Just be who you are. I'm not even going to finish reading that. Be who you are. Because in Christianity, what we want is we want people to be religious. So, you know, don't act who you are. And I say if there's any place where you can be who you are and where it can get changed, it's in the house of God. I hope you got the import of that. Because we know Christians don't do that, and you just did that. How many of you know some Christians mess up? And we manicure our pictures we put on Facebook. And we try to do that with our life. And I'm not saying giving you license not to discipline your mouth and not to discipline yourself. But don't fake it till you make it. God really like to get to know you. And Jesus would really like to change us and make us who he wants us to be. I'm going to leave it at that. Glad we already took the offering. Look at somebody next to you and say, you know, this guy is something else. I'd rather him lie than tell the truth about himself. He's always blowing his image. Thank you. Somebody asked me one time. No, I'll leave that alone. I did get invited to speak at a prison for a bunch of girls, and I told them the truth about being a father out of wedlock and having a daughter out of wedlock. And what that was like for me from the father perspective. And when it was over, I had all these girls who flocked forward. My daughter happened to be there that time. And they flocked. The poor warden, she didn't know what to do. She said, I can't believe you told that story in front of these girls. They didn't need to hear that. And my response was, I'm sorry I offended you, but I did what God wanted me to do. Because you know where people connect with us? I'm sorry, the sermon's over. You know where people connect with us? Not in our perfections. They connect with us in our imperfections, in our brokenness. When we somehow say, yeah, I messed up in that area. And they go, wow, there's hope for me. But when we tell them we got it all worked out and we know everything and we got it, nobody can live up to that. Nobody can identify with that. And I'm not saying that you need to be that. I'm saying that when you tell your testimony, don't dress it up. Because there are things about me, if you knew that you don't know, that you wouldn't like me very much. And there's things about Jay, if you knew, you'd sit five seats away from him. But how many of you know the whole truth is Jesus changes people? Look at somebody next to you and say, I'm so glad he changed you.